Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally High School Sports Podcast, brought to you by the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal and DJournal.com, talking about everything going on with high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, November 16th. I'm Brad Locke, your host, along with, of course, Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. That's you, Gene.
Oh, okay.
That's you.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Uncle Gene, as he's known around here.
That's right. I tell stories.
You do. Story time. Story time with Uncle Gene. It's a popular feature here at the Journal. Just stop by his cubicle and
When I retire, can I come in and tell weekly stories?
Please do. Just come in here and regale us with your many tales.
There we go.
But anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. You can listen to this, of course, every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free. You can stream it at preprally.djournal.com. You can find it in iTunes or any of your podcast apps if you don't have an iPhone, so like Satchel, Player.fm, whatnot. Just hit the subscribe button and be notified every time there is a new episode. And also follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Got a lot to talk about today, fellas. We got these other seasons getting underway, but it's pretty much all football today because we're in the thick of the high school football playoffs. Got the state quarterfinals coming up, and we're going to look at some of the big matchups there. But first, we do want to look back at some of the key games last week. Had some local teams get eliminated, but had some other teams turn in some very impressive performances. Let's start in 6A. Tupelo turning in an impressive game there, Gene, defeating Northwest Rankin out of that tough Division II. 45-28 the final. Stephon McGlon, the quarterback, the sophomore, he's only 15. Had a nice game, didn't he?
He did. Tupelo, again, doesn't seem to get rattled when another team competes with them on the field. They seem to always come back and find that way to win. Last week, Tupelo led 17-14 going in at the half, came out in the second half, and McGlon threw three touchdown passes.
Wow.
So, big performance by him. He also rushed for like 81 yards last week and scored a touchdown. As a matter of fact, it was Tupelo's first touchdown of the game, and he set it up. It was like a 9-yard TD run. He set that TD up with a 42-yard run on a quarterback draw.
Goodness.
So his ankle seems to be okay.
Yeah.
He suffered with some ankle problems earlier in the season.
And you had a story on him this week, and, you know, Michael Campbell, his coach.
Yeah. His quarterback coach.
Quarterback coach said, you know, he kind of forgets that he's only 15.
That's right. He said it was his most complete game, and Campbell's looking at things that I don't see. But
sure.
He said he made only one bad read in the second half, and that was in the run game and the passing game. And he said he's just really amazed at how quickly he's progressed. And you kind of want to see him keep playing, see how good he could really be.
Oh, yeah. See how far he can take the Golden Wave, which now improved to 12-0 on this season with that win over Northwest Rankin. They'll play Madison Central next. We'll look at that matchup here in just a few minutes. Let's go look at 4A, Amory defeating Cleveland, a tight one there, Blake, 20-14. You were not at this game, but you followed Amory pretty closely this year. It seems like this is kind of find a way, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked to Alan Glenn this week about the win and whatnot. And it's what he said, you know, and we just always just kind of find a way late, right? And he said that this one was really on the defense. The defense pulled it out. I mean, you know, holding any team to 14, you should feel pretty good about winning in today's football age, right? When offense is all over the place. So he said he was kind of, you know, the offense played one of its worst games in a few weeks. He said that they had a few opportunities to score, and they just turned it over or just didn't come up with the points that they needed. But he said probably the best defensive game that they've had all year.
And I think they got a late defensive stop to kind of
seal the deal
against Cleveland. In fact, looking back at their this season, I mean, Amory has some experience in close games. They've won 6 games by 10 points or less. And each of their last 3 games have been won by, I believe, less than 10 points, including the 2 playoff games that they've played so far. So the Panthers, and I think, isn't that their hashtag on Twitter, find a way? I want to say
is it? I'm not sure.
I follow them on Twitter. I want to say that's the hashtag they use over and over. So they found their way into the quarterfinal round here. And up next, a matchup we'll talk about, big matchup they got next with Lafayette. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Looking at 2A, you had Baldwin defeating South Delta quite handily, 34-6. John Drix Robinson had a nice game, 136 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. John Swinney, the quarterback, passed for 157 yards. Nice balanced attack there.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's well. One thing I think they've kind of struggled with this year is trying to get the offense or trying to get the running game and passing game going in the same game, because it's usually either Sweeney having a big game or he's just off and they're just having to run the football. So,
sure.
I think Michael Gray had to be pretty encouraged with seeing the running game finally come through playing well, and also the passing game.
Yeah,
with you know, now that they're into the quarterfinals.
Exactly.
In
2A. And they'll face East Webster, big matchup of two area teams there in the next round. Just a few other notable results. Won't go through all the results, but just some results to note. This is a game you were at, I believe, Blake. Kossuth losing to Eastside, and it wasn't even close. 40-7. What did they do to shut down that Jaylee Adams and that offense?
They just were all over. They really controlled the line of scrimmage. Jaylee just had no room to run. He had a 57-yard run on the first drive, which he got dragged down at the one, and then I think it was Bobo, the quarterback, scored the next play, and that was their only touchdown. And I mean, you could kind of see it early, like, you know, it's like, wow, if Jaylee doesn't break three tackles and get that 57-yard run, they really struggled.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the whole game, Eastside, they would they never really threw the ball. They just ran the ball every single play when they were on offense. Yeah. They controlled the clock. And then you could tell Kossuth, when they got on offense, they were a little frantic, a little hurried, and it was not a recipe for success.
Looking at some other results, they're in 4A, Lafayette defeated Louisville 24-7. Also in 4A, Pontotoc keeps rolling, defeating Greenwood 35-14. And then in 1A, God bless them, Faulkner saw its season come to an end at the hands of Simmons, 98-18. I first saw that score, I thought, oh, was that an early season basketball score? No.
If I had been thinking, and not to make fun of the kids, Faulkner, it would have probably made for a nice column piece to have gone to school and walked down the halls with those kids, because you know they were, some of the kids are going, hey, did y'all win the other night? And that kind of thing, I'm sure. I mean, good grief.
That's just one of the – I mean, I wasn't there, and we didn't get any details called in on the game, so I don't know how that went down exactly, but it's – I mean
– it was pretty lopsided at halftime to the point where I told someone in the press box at Tupelo – you know, that's when the High School Activities Association, the referees at the game, call and go, let's just call this one.
Yeah,
because you're going to get somebody hurt or keep embarrassing. And it was like 70-something, I believe. So they scored some more, you know, and enough's enough. I mean, it was pretty obvious that it was a mismatch, and then, that game should have been called.
And then you just get things kind of can snowball after a half like that. And maybe Faulkner kids just like, man, it's hard to find the motivation at that point, I would imagine. So
I don't see how they found it. I really don't. Yeah. That was
that's tough way to go out. But I guess
they still have something to talk about, you know, years from now. Hey, you won't believe what happened in my last high school game.
Oh, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. So Simmons obviously has a pretty good team as well. Okay, let's go ahead and look ahead to some big games. We have 11 teams left from the Daily Journal coverage area in the playoffs. It's the quarterfinal round, or state north semifinals, I guess you also call it. And so next week would be the north final / state semifinal, however you want to label it. So we've got 8 games involving 11 area teams. We want to focus in mainly on 4 games here. 6A, of course, Tupelo, as we mentioned, 12-0 facing Madison Central. Gene, another team out of that tough Division II 6A. 9-3-1 record. I forget, what was their seeding coming out of that division?
They were 2 or 3.
I want to say they may have been 2.
They may have been. I think Warren Central was 3.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a division that came down to the last week determining the seeding, because they were also bunched up there. But, you know, MC is on a 7-game win streak, and some of the teams they've beaten, South Panola, Warren Central, Starkville, which just missed the playoffs, but reigning state champs, and certainly a very good squad. So this is going to be a very tough game for Tupelo, Gene.
Yeah, the coaches and players are saying that on just the level of being physical. Probably the one of the most physical teams they've played this season. That would include Sal Panola and Brandon, who they seem to think were the toughest two teams they played as far as just physical, hard-hitting teams. Both of those games for Tupelo were like 14-13 and 3-0. I think this one will not be that low scoring, but I think it'll come down to somebody making a play.
Yeah.
Just looking at the scores. I looked at common opponents, and Brandon Tupelo won 14-13. Madison Central beat Brandon 33-24. And then they both played, of course, Northwest Rankin. Tupelo won last week 45-28. Madison Central won 35-24. So I think we're going to have one of those 28-21s, 28-24.
Yeah, it should be a heck of a game.
Close. I think it's probably going to be one of the best games of the night.
Now, who do they have that we might need to keep an eye on there, Madison Central?
They got a quarterback named Jack Walker, thrown for 1,900 yards, 15 touchdowns. They got a running back who some of the defensive players said is really good, has 952 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns, and a really good receiver, a kid named Braden Boykin, who has 52 catches for 504 yards, which tells me he's their 10-yard,
get
a first-down receiver, possession receiver, and that kid say he's really tough to defend. Well, so it's going to take everything. Tupelo seems to step up each week with something.
Yeah.
Defense makes big plays. Last week, 4 turnovers. They capitalized and scored on all 4.
Yeah.
That was big. McGlon had a great game.
Yeah.
Week before, J-Rock. You know, it's just somebody week to week does something big. And, you know, so who knows? You'd like to see it keep going. You know, I don't believe in wait till next year. They'll be even better next year as this year.
You never know.
You know, you don't ever know what might happen.
It's just, well, Tupelo, I mean, it looks like they're the number one team in the state. They look like, to me, the favorite to win the whole thing, but you still got to beat, it's very tough just in the north to get through. And so Madison Central is next. That game is at Tupelo, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, 7 o'clock Friday night. 5A, West Point and Oxford, they meet again. Actually, Oxford has knocked West Point out of the playoffs each of the last 2 years, both in blowouts. And then they met again. They met during the regular season. To West Point defeated Oxford 22-8.
Yeah, and I thought Oxford won a big game last week going down to Grenada. And
yes.
I had somebody tell me that's kind of in the know that might be their final game. And they really turned in a really good performance and won. You know, earlier in the season, they hadn't played. They played each other in the same division. It was September the 23rd. West Point defeated Oxford 22-8.
Yep.
So
it's been a while.
Know, we're in the playoffs. All bets are off. I mean, West Point team. They got a quarterback now, the Clayton Knight kid that transferred from Saltillo down there.
Yeah,
he's had a big year passing. He's got 1,100 yards. So that gives West Point, which is usually a run heavy team, that little extra element.
You don't usually see that
surprise.
From them.
Surprise! I mean, West Point still has a 1,400 yard back and a 700 yard running back.
Right,
so
right.
They're still going to line up and pound you. But now Clayton Knight gives them that option to rear back and throw. And taking them to an 11-1 record.
That'll be a fun game there at Oxford in 5A. In 4A, got a couple of games I want to look at. Two of the hottest teams in the state meet when Amory visits Lafayette. Both of these teams on 10-game winning streaks. They both just look unstoppable. And so, I mean, this has a bunch of really fun-looking matchups, and this is just another one, Blake. Amory, as you have mentioned, they keep finding a way. This is going to be, I would say, since the Pontotoc game, their toughest test of the season.
Yeah, Alan Glenn, the head coach, said that this is our toughest team we've played all year. They're just balanced on offense and defense, which – I would bet that every coach would probably say that before any playoff game, but it's pretty true, right? Lafayette, they started the year 0-2. Amory started the year 1-2, and both have been killing it
on
ever
fire.
Since.
Yeah.
And this is the game where, you know, I was in here Friday night getting all the getting the paper together, and
sure.
That was the one matchup where I was like, ooh, that's going to be exciting to see what happens.
Yeah, certainly. So Amory at Lafayette in 4A.
And Brad, you've been around long enough to know, and I don't want to generalize this, but Lafayette, they lost their first two games. They hadn't lost since. They're blessed with athletes. They have them every year. They're the best-looking team getting off the bus and coming out for pregame warm-ups you will ever see.
Yeah.
And they are equally talented.
Yeah, that's become one of the best, better programs in this part of the state. Of course, they won back-to-back state titles with Jeremy Liggins not too long ago, and they just seem to keep rolling there, Lafayette. Another 4A game, Pontotoc hosting Noxubee County. Big one here for Pontotoc. They've been rolling, only got the one loss. And that loss was to Amory a few weeks ago. They only scored 18 in that game. The offense, Blake, has been rolling ever since. Ever since that loss, they've been averaging 44.6 points per game.
I think that loss really kind of focused them. Yeah. You know, you hear teams say that all the time where, you know, an undefeated team needs that one loss to kind of focus in. And that certainly looks like that's what happened with this team. Especially earlier in the year, Pontotoc, they were just blowing teams out by 30. And so I think it was good for them to get that loss and get in a close game, you know, so they can hone in and focus a little bit more. And ever since then, they've been just on fire. And I talked with Jeff Carter earlier in the week, the head coach, and he said, you know, Noxubee's going to be really tough. They're the class of 4A, and that's certainly been the case for about the last decade or so. And he said, you know, we're at home. I believe in our guys. We're practicing really well. If we can come out with a victory, we have a real shot at winning the state title.
Yeah, you know, we talked earlier about Amory being in all these close games. Pontotoc's kind of the opposite. They've only been in two games decided by 10 points or less. Season opener, they beat Houston, and then we mentioned the loss to Amory by 8. Otherwise, they've been blowing people out of the water. They've won 6 in a row. They've been blowing people out since the loss to Amory. So, I mean, this is just a team that, except for that one hiccup, has just been on fire and really playing well on both sides of the ball. Noxubee County, I don't know what exactly they have this year, but they're always good.
Yeah,
they're always a tough out.
Pontotoc, they said this earlier in the year. Tupelo was getting ready to play South Panola, and they said you just don't want to get sticker shock.
And see
that Noxubee helmet, which looks like they have the same decal, Tigers decal. That
they do, don't they?
South Panola has, and they probably got a lot of moxie and a lot of swag when they come in. I mean, they're going a little swagger to them. Yeah. So Pontotoc just needs to do what they've been doing.
And
playing at home.
Yeah.
I like Pontotoc.
Yeah.
And I hate to call it an upset, but I guess you would because of the tradition.
Certainly. Certainly. I mean, checking out Noxubee's schedule here real quick, if I can actually find it. There we go. I mean, they're on a winning streak as well. Now, they lost 3 in a row earlier in the year, but the opponents were Meridian, West Point, and Kemper County.
There you go.
You know, not exactly cupcakes. they ran through their division undefeated, and they beat Gentry and Senatobia in the first two rounds of the playoffs, beat Senatobia by 3 last week. Some other quick games here to keep an eye on this week in 3A. They got North Pontotoc at Velma Jackson, a win here, which sent North Pontotoc to the state semifinals for the first time. They've gotten this far here, the quarterfinals, twice, previously in 2013 and back in 2003. In 2A, Baldwin at East Webster, one of those all-area matchups we mentioned. East Webster has knocked Baldwin out of the playoffs each of the last 2 years, beat him by a couple of touchdowns last year, blew him out in 2014, so Baldwin looking for a little bit of revenge at East Webster. Also in 2A, West Bolivar at Calhoun City. These are a pair of division champs. West Bolivar won Division III, Calhoun City Division 4, both teams playing awfully well. Calhoun City's won 11 in a row. West Bolivar, 9 in a row. 1A, go ahead,
Jake. Just take that West Bolivar mask off, and it's Rosedale.
Exactly. I remember growing up. I remember growing up hearing all about Rosedale. Of course, they had, school consolidation. Now it's West Bolivar. But a lot of good athletes always coming out of that program. 1A, you got Smithville at home against Ray Brooks. Ray Brooks just 4-5, Gene. And they play in this 5-team division. 1A is a little bit weird right now. You got an 8-team division, for instance, that Smithville is in. But then Ray Brooks plays in this 5-team division. And I think they only had one loss.
Right.
In division, and they played some tough out-of-division games. They lost to East Webster. They played West Tallahatchie, West Bolivar that we just mentioned. So tough non-division schedule for them. They're going to be a tough matchup.
I'm having a little trouble right now finding some Ray Brooks information. So right now in our capsules, I'm Ray Brooks' leading rusher.
Don't forget to change that before it goes in the paper, Gene. Get some names. So, Ray Brooks at Smithville. That'll probably be a good
game. Smithville is without
–
D. Moore.
Oh, wow, that's big.
Yeah, no, he broke his hand playing basketball last week. The coaches found out Friday morning, last week of the playoff game.
Oof.
And they struggled early against Broad Street. They was 0-0 going into halftime. They ended up winning, I think it was 17-6.
Yeah.
So I talked with the coach earlier this week. He said that he thinks that the extra week of practice will help the team kind of get off to a better start. He said, you know, I have a story coming out tomorrow about it. He said, I mean, we were scrambling a playoff game last
week. So he was just playing. I mean, I assume he probably plays on the school basketball team.
Yeah,
but
he's on the basketball
team. But was he practicing with the basketball team? Or is he just playing on his own?
Yeah.
Don't think he'd be with the basketball team just yet. Could have just been playing in the driveway or something.
Yeah, I mean, he could be playing with some guys in a pickup game,
sure,
though, on the team. I honestly don't know. I just know he was playing basketball. And,
wow, and that's, of course, their big-time running back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he,
leading rusher.
Yeah, he kind of, the offense kind of came and went with D. Moore. So
yeah.
That is a big loss.
Well, yeah, so that'll make it extra challenging for Smithville against Ray Brooks. All right, guys, so that's kind of a quick look at what's coming up in the playoffs this week. Again, we got 11 teams involved in 8 games. We'll have full coverage, of course, in Saturday's Journal and at djournal.com. Time now for Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognizing male and female athlete for their exploits on the field of play or on the court or what have you. Let's do a female athlete first. Gene, who do we have?
We've got Ellie Nash. Saw her last night. She plays post for defending 3A state champion Boonville.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie was quite a player last year.
Yeah.
As a sophomore, she's a junior now. She's 5'11". She had a double-double last night, 20 and 10. She also had 4 block shots. She altered a few more.
Yeah.
In the opener last week, she had 20 and 8.
Wow.
Against Tishomingo County, and really having a great start to the season. And Ellie Nash, female player of the week.
And male athlete of the week?
We were talking about that this morning. It's pretty easy. Senior guard Jarkel Joyner at Oxford, by far and away, is the landslide winner. 49 points last night.
That'll do
against
it.
Grenada, I believe. Is that who it was?
No,
Hernando.
Wow.
Hernando. I'm thinking about football. Excuse me.
Hernando.
But 49 points. Again, I'll tell you this. I couldn't score 49 if it was me on the court by myself. So Jarkel Joyner is quite the athlete
and
shooter.
He is, and he can light it up like that. That's not unusual for him at all.
He's a great player.
All right, so congrats to Ellie Nash and Jarkel Joyner, our Prep Rally Athletes of the Week. That'll do it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all again for tuning in. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. We'll be tweeting out football scores from that account this Friday, and also tweeting out links to stories that Blake and Gene write, and you can find in the paper, and at DJournal.com. Again, you can listen to us online at PrepRally.DJournal.com. Listen to us in iTunes or any of your podcast apps. Don't forget about the Memo Podcast as well. It's 3 days a week with myself and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi news and entertainment, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And also, don't forget to check out Double Coverage, and it's a podcast about Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports with Parrish Alford and Logan Larry. New episodes every Thursday. All right, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Wednesday here on Prep Rally. Until then, have a good one.